You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good evening, 7 p.m. service. Today we're going to embark on a new series called Unchanging. If you have been with us, last year we had a series called Unwavering and Great Faith. Basically, this series Unchanging is similar to those series that we've had. It talks about the faith of the patriarchs of the past. Why is it important for us to talk about faith once again? It's important for us to talk about faith once again because every season needs a different kind of faith in us. Every season that we would embark in our journey in life needs a different kind of faith. Our previous faith would not be enough for the current season that we have right now in our journey. That's why we have to continue to grow and improve. We'll be talking about the faith of Abraham in the perspective of Isaac. We're gonna run through quickly about the faith of Abraham, but we're gonna camp on the faith of Isaac, at least in his perspective, in Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 to 7, and Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 14. Chapter 21. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. Verse 2, and Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God has spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old as God had commanded him. Verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have bore him a son in his old age. Now let's jump to chapter 22, verse 1. He said here, after these things, God tested Abraham. So probably this was several years after the birth of Isaac. So there were many things that already have happened. Ishmael was pushed away from the family. Abraham also had dealings with Abimelech regarding the well. And so it says here, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Verse 10, then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Let's jump right to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. It says here, and these things God tested Abraham. Now, this testing is not meant to produce faith, but it is meant to reveal the faith of Abraham. Verse 2 says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And we all know that Abraham had two sons. He had Ishmael, but it was so specific here that the emphasis was so overwhelming on Isaac. It says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Meaning to say, there were two children, but one of them was dearly loved by Abraham. And it gives us a picture as well of Abraham's relationship with Isaac, that this son was his dearly beloved. He said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. I have to imagine this one. When God said, go, if I was in the shoes of Abraham, I would begin to hear that this voice is familiar. When God said, go, that seems to be familiar. Because 25 years ago, that same voice said, go. Go to the land where I will show you. Go out of your country and go to the land where I will show you. So if I was Abraham and I was hearing this voice, go to the land of Moriah, I would be excited. What could this be, Lord? Another journey. He said, on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. But the difference right here is this one. God said, offer him there as a burnt offering. Now the excitement turns to something very sad. Because he's going to embark on a new journey, but at the end of that journey, he's going to sacrifice his very own beloved son as a burnt offering. What would you do if a promise was given only to be taken away? I believe that we would be sad, very sad, for this matter. In fact, I would understand if we would be angry, if we would tend to question God, Lord, this is your promised son for me. I'm already more than 100 years old. If this son will be taken away from me, what happens to your promise? So it would be rational for Abraham to somehow question God. How about us? When a baby was given, after giving birth, the baby would suddenly feel sick and later on would die. How would that make us feel as a parent? How would that make us feel? If you're here and you're believing God for something, let's say your cell phone, the most expensive iPhone right now, you've been praying for God for that one, and the moment you came out of the store, you were very happy and it was stolen. How would that make you feel? Lord, 10 prayer and fastings, I've been praying for this and it was just stolen. It was just on my hand for a few minutes and I wasn't even able to enjoy it. How would that make you feel? So there's that tension right now. Would Abraham still pursue that voice? Or would he just live his own life, putting that voice behind him? Charles Spurgeon said, God is too good to be unkind. He is too wise to be mistaken. And when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. Now, we would see later in the response of Abraham that indeed Abraham was able to see God's heart and begin to trust the heart of God for him. That even though things doesn't make sense for him, this is the son of the promise, yet I'm going to sacrifice him. Things doesn't make sense. But he saw the heart of God. From his experience years ago, he was able to realize that God's heart will always be for him. And that's the same thing that God will want to say to you today. God's heart is for you. If things in your life doesn't make sense, and if you don't see the hand of God over your life, your circumstance, your situation, your problem maybe, the heart of God for you. This is the response of Abraham. He rose early, he saddled his donkey, took two of his young men and his son, and began the journey. What's amazing here is that Abraham's response was immediate. He didn't delay. The very next morning, he rose and he prepared everything for their journey. And one amazing thing is that he didn't bargain with God. He didn't wrestle with God. You wouldn't see in the text that Abraham was considering a lot of things. Now, Lord, why won't you consider Ishmael perhaps? I'm willing to sacrifice him instead of Isaac. There was no bargaining. And the thing about Abraham is that Abraham was old. So, you know, old people, they wake up very early in the morning, so to prepare things. That's what happened, and you would see the very heart of Abraham here. Even in his situation, even if things are not clear, probably I would begin to understand if Abraham wasn't able to sleep that very night, thinking about what he's going to do. Should he obey or should he do something else? So you would see here the obedience of Abraham and his faith. He said he cut the wood for the burnt offering. You see how personal Abraham was with this task that he's about to do? He could have asked his servants to prepare wood for the sacrifice, but no. This was too personal for him to be delegated. If he's going to sacrifice his very own son, he cannot delegate things to other people. And he said, on the third day, you would see here that the journey was quite long from their place to the mountain of Moriah. So it took them 3 long days. And from these 3 long days, if you were in the shoes of Abraham or sandals of Abraham, you would begin to feel the turmoil that has been going on in his heart from the very beginning of that journey. Just imagine, you're journeying together with your very own son, and probably there were laughing, there were joking along the way, and there's that conversation at night wherein Abraham would hear the laughter of his son. And can you imagine the pain in the heart of Abraham, hearing the voice of his son, the laughter of his son, and knowing that at the end of the journey, he's going to sacrifice. He's going to kill his very own son to be a sacrifice. And throughout that 3 days, he has to keep his emotions. Kailangan niya i-keep yung emotion para there will be no hint for his son of what's going to happen. His son just knows that they're going to go there to worship. But Isaac didn't know that he was the one that should be the sacrifice. So just imagine the turmoil, the emotion that has been welling in the heart of Abraham. 3 days. And it gives us also a picture that Abraham had 3 days to reconsider. Am I going to push through with this or not? Just imagine what's happening in the mind of Abraham. After the 3 days, here's the climax of everything. When he's about to see the mountain where he would sacrifice his son. Thinking about the situation, I think this would help us. Have you seen on television OFWs wherein the husband probably would leave the family for a job somewhere abroad? Just imagine with me the scenario in the airport. They're laughing, they're waiting for the flight, and then finally, the PA would say that flight blah, 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 blah for blah, blah, blah is now boarding. Just imagine the emotions, the environment during that time. Just picture it with me. Tears would begin to flow from the person living and the people who would be left behind. They're free to express their emotions. But in Abraham's case, it wasn't like that. He has to keep everything. He has to be discreet in doing that thing. So they were there. Abraham already saw the mountain and they were walking. And he said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and I and the boy will go over there and worship. This is the very first time the word worship was mentioned in the Bible. And when this word was mentioned, it also pertained to sacrifice. Meaning to say, when there is worship, there is sacrifice. And worship equates sacrifice. True worship will cost the worshiper something. And it is costly. Abraham will cost him his son for him to worship God. But he had a choice. Diba? From the very beginning, he had a choice. But he has decided that he will worship the God of the heavens. That he was willing to sacrifice his son for him to be able to worship God. And we have to take note that he said to his 2 young men, stay here with the donkey. It means to say that Abraham doesn't want to have interruptions when he worships. He doesn't want to have people who would restrain him from binding his son. Master, don't do that. That's crazy. He doesn't want to have people to hinder him in worshiping God. And I want to tell you, in our life, there are things and people that could be hindering us from truly worshiping God. And sometimes we have to leave those things and people behind so that we will be able to freely worship God. It's amazing to note that when he said, "I and the boy will go over there and worship," he also said, "and come again to you." In other translations, it's very clear. They say, "We will come again to you." You see the faith of Abraham right here? He knows that he's going to sacrifice and kill his son, and yet he is able to say that we will come back to you. Probably Abraham knows that he's going to kill his son, but he trusts God that God can make a miracle and revive his son afterwards. You see the heart of a hopeful father right here. He said, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. So you can imagine here that Isaac was not a baby. Isaac, according to scholars, was about 20 to 30 years old during this time. So he took the wood of the burnt offering. Now, this isn't just a small bundle of wood. Imagine, you're going to burn someone. So it's not just a small bundle of wood. It's probably several logs that Isaac has to carry. So imagine the strength of Isaac being able to carry a bunch of firewood in his back up a mountain. Isaac has the strength, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. If I was Abraham and I was contemplating of sacrificing my son, I probably would forget about these little things right here, the fire and the knife. But he didn't. Abraham didn't forget the most important tool for the sacrifice, the knife and the fire. According to Charles Spurgeon, he said the knife was cutting into his own heart all the while, yet he took it. Unbelief would have left the knife at home, but genuine faith takes it. Abraham was ready. Abraham was prepared. Abraham already had, from that 3 days journey, made a resolve that I'm gonna sacrifice my son for me to be able to worship God himself. Trusting that God has the power to bring his son back to life. And Isaac to his father, when they were walking up the mountain, "Father, I'm making a checklist. The fire, the wood, and the knife are here. But Father, we're missing one essential component of our sacrifice. Where is the lamb?" And he said, "Abraham, this is Abraham. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." You see the faith of Abraham? You see his faith right here. I know, I'm going to sacrifice you, my son. But I'm still believing that God will provide for yet another sacrifice in your behalf. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order. Now from verse 1 up until this point, we would see the faith of the father, Abraham. Now in the following verses, we would see a full display of Isaac's faith right here. Verse 9 says, "Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar." Now remember, Abraham was more than 100 years old. And Isaac was a young man, a strong man. Perhaps Isaac could have easily escaped, but chose not to. Why is that? Why did he choose to be bound and laid over that firewood waiting to be sacrificed? Now, for us to understand better why Isaac was able to do this and make a resolve out of this one, perhaps we have to backtrack a little bit before he was born. Isaac was a product of 25 years of waiting. Imagine that one. Verse 1, "The Lord visited Sarah, and he had said, and the Lord said to Sarah, as he had promised." It's quite a long time of waiting, but God delivered as he promised. We need to say, God was faithful to fulfill his word. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Now, God moves according to his timeline, not ours. A lot of times, the reason why we get tired of waiting is because we're just so impatient. We tend to think that God will move according to our circumstance, according to our situation, but no. God will move according to his timeline, according to his purpose, and according to his plans. Another, Isaac was a product of fulfilled promise. This was how Isaac was to Abraham. Abraham called the name of his son whom Sarah bore him Isaac. Now, Isaac means laughter. And laughter, if you remember, Sarah laughed when she heard that God was going to give them a child at their old age. She laughed because it was impossible. It was somehow a joke for her. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. It was supposed to be a rebuke that his name laughter, but God turned it into joy. And because Isaac was a product, fulfilled promise, God made Isaac to be set apart for his very own purpose. His circumcision right there was a means to remind Isaac that you have been set apart. That you have been set apart for my glory and for my purpose. Another thing, Isaac was a product of God's faithfulness. Abraham was 100 years old. It was impossible. It was very impossible for them to have a son. And yet, God delivered. And Sarah said, God has made a laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? No one believed that they would have children. Even the two of them didn't believe that they will have children. But it was only God who said they will have children. What God says will be, will be. If God said it will come to pass, it will come to pass. God has the power, the ability to be able to make an impossible situation into a possible thing for us. To God, circumstances doesn't matter. What matters is his word. If God gave you his word, he will deliver it for you. Whether you think you can or you can't, God will deliver it. Considering all of these things about Isaac, that he was a product of 25 years of waiting, a fulfillment of a promise, and a product of God's faithfulness. Now you can just imagine the relationship between Isaac and Abraham. And what was Isaac's relationship with his dad like? I would say that it was a very deep and intimate kind of relationship that Isaac had with his dad. Imagine, 100 years old and I have a baby. You can just imagine the storytelling, the bedtime stories that Abraham and Sarah would do with Isaac. Siguro they would recount all of God's faithfulness to them, how Isaac was born, how impossible it was for Isaac to be born in this world, and God delivered. So it would probably, Isaac would probably hear that from night to night, day in, day out, God's faithfulness in our life. Another thing is that, what would you do when you receive the very thing you have been praying for the longest time? If it was me, I'd probably never take my eyes out of it. I've been praying for this for the longest time. I wouldn't allow a single time that I would miss this child. For those parents here, if you are out for quite some time, you would begin to miss your son or your children so deeply. Imagine Abraham right here at 100 years old. He was holding a baby. Probably he wouldn't allow anybody to touch the baby. And probably Abraham would bring his son wherever and wherever he would go, tending the flock right here. And just imagine the conversations of this father and son right here. You would see that their relationship was so intimate. And Isaac was a witness to his father's faith and God's faithfulness. They would say that Isaac was probably 20 to 30 years old. So from that span of time, Isaac was a witness to how his father lived his life, and he had heard all of the testimonies of God's faithfulness to them. Isaac's faith was forged through hearing from and witnessing his father's life. To the parents here, our life is a testimony. Our life of faith will forge the faith of our children. It's important for us to allow our children see our faith, to hear the testimonies of our faith, the things that you are believing for, the breakthroughs that God has brought in your life. Our children need to hear that. The faith of the next generation can be forged through hearing from us and witnessing our lives. Make your voices be heard. Invest your life of faith in the life of the next generation. The only way for the next generation to live a life of faith is if they see it in us. It's a sad thing to know that there was a generation in the scripture that didn't know about God because it wasn't passed on to them. They never heard about them. The next generation needs to hear your voice and to see your life of faith. Through this time, when Isaac was looking at his father and listening to his father, his heart was so filled with faith that even if it wasn't tested yet, it was already been so strong that from the moment his father would reach out his hand and took the knife to slaughter him, he wouldn't budge. Imagine, from the time that Abraham would bind his son, Isaac could have resisted right there and then. But he submitted to his father. Meaning to say, he trusted his father even to the point of him being killed. That's how he trusted his father. Abraham had 3 days to consider. Isaac had seconds to make a decision whether to flee or to lie there and wait. What will happen? Isaac knew God will provide, as his father said. Abraham said, God will provide. And Isaac was there lying, waiting for the provision of God. He didn't know how God will provide, but he just trusted. According to Toby Mac, God is not asking us or you to figure it out. God is asking you to trust. He has already figured out things in our life. So when Abraham was about to kill his son, the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham, there was an urgency. Good thing, at his age, Abraham was still able to hear clearly. Because if not, he would have killed his son. And God said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham displayed his heart towards God in that he was willing to give his only son. Isn't this familiar? God displays his heart towards us by giving his only begotten son to us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he would give his only begotten son to be a sacrifice for us. God's heart for his people is unchanging. His faithfulness then is still his faithfulness today. Isaac's birth and supposedly sacrifice is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ. Isaac's birth was the same kind of birth Jesus Christ had. It was a miraculous kind of birth. It was a product of years of waiting, waiting for the promised Messiah, 25 years of waiting for Isaac. Both of them were loved by their father. Both of them offered themselves willingly to be a sacrifice. Both of them carried the wood to the place of their sacrifice. Both of them were sacrificed on the same hill. On the same mountain. The mountain of Moriah is also where the hill of Calvary is. Both of them were delivered from death on the third day. On the third day, Isaac was delivered from death. On the third day, Christ rose again from the grave. The only difference is that Isaac had a substitute. God provided a substitute as a sacrifice. God provided a ram. Abraham offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. But God, to Jesus Christ, there was no substitute. He was the ultimate sacrifice for all of us right here. The reason why we are here to worship, remember, worship entails sacrifice. True worship will have sacrifice. And the reason why we are here, able to worship God without sacrifice, because Jesus Christ already made that sacrifice for us once and for all. Just imagine, if Jesus Christ was that sacrifice, all of us will be bringing our sacrifice. This place would be so smelly, so messy. God didn't call off the sacrifice. Instead, He required that there be a substitute provided by God Himself. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Now, take a look at that word provide right there. In the original Hebrew, the word is ra'ah, which means to see. So if we are going to rephrase that word, the phrase right there, the Lord will see. On the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Because thousands of years later, in this very hill right here, Isaiah 53 verse 11, out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. God will see the sacrifices of his very own son right at this very hill, wherein many will be called righteous because Christ will bear their iniquities. God will be satisfied with the work of His very own Son right here as He says, "My servant." Christ became the sacrifice, the substitute for us all so that we will be able to give an unhindered worship before our Heavenly Father. God's grace for each and every one of us is unchanging. God's faithfulness for each and every one of us is unchanging. His faithfulness to Abraham, to Isaac, and all the patriarchs is still His faithfulness to us today. Past, present, future, God is unchanging. And I hope and pray today we will get to have that result in our heart that whenever things are not clear, things doesn't make sense in our life, we will begin to remember from the past the faithfulness of God and see in our present the goodness of God and declare in our future that God is faithful, God will deliver. Whatever God says, He will fulfill it. Because everything has been laid down on that hill right there. Everything was accomplished. God will never change. The God that we worship is unchanging. Let us pray.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.